Hello and welcome to Vogue Uncut, the podcast that's all about celebrating the lived experiences of women in Singapore and beyond. Imagine getting first dibs on Vogue's latest episodes, behind-the-scenes content, and even some chic surprises along the way. Join Club Vogue on vogue.sg/subscribe to be part of our inner circle.
Hi, and welcome to Vogue Uncut. I'm your host, Ali, Vogue Singapore's beauty director, and today's episode is one that's really close to our hearts, egg freezing. Whether you're contemplating egg freezing so that you can focus on finding yourself, finding the one, climbing the corporate ladder, or just living your best life, you are not alone. Egg freezing is one way that we can take control of our narrative where fertility is concerned. So today, I'm so excited because we are joined by two amazing guests, Kim Unwin, the co-founder of Fertility Support SG, which is Singapore's largest nonprofit support group with literally thousands of followers over socials as well as WhatsApp, as well as Tanvi Bhatia, a 37-year-old private equity professional who has experience in the field herself. Now, between the three of us, we've lived through about 8 rounds of egg freezing, so I think we're more than qualified to share about it today. Hi, guys. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
So excited to have you here. Now, as cisgender women, we are born with all the eggs that we'll ever have in our lifetime. And most people say that 30 is the new 20, but our ovarian reserves decline from the age of 25 onwards, which is kind of depressing, right? Yeah. So biologically speaking, it's a whole other story than what we've actually been told. So Kim, I really want to understand what the data says about aging when it comes to our eggs, and why is it the sooner the better when it comes to this process?
So a lot of people don't realize that when they're born, okay, we kind of have about 1 million to 2 million eggs when we're born, all right? By the time we reach the age of 20, we're down to 200,000 eggs.
That's so grim, right?
That's quite shocking, actually.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's something a lot of people don't really know. So, and then by the time you reach the age of 30, 50,000, you know,
empty. That's very little.
Yeah. And so, you know, the thing is that, and we lose 10,000 eggs every month.
Just from our periods.
Just from our periods. Mm-hmm. Even
it's
though
gonna happen,
only, yeah,
whether we like it or not.
One egg, you know, fertilizes. I mean, one egg ovulates and everything, but we lose around 10,000 eggs. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, if you think about it, when we're 30, we don't really have that many eggs left.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is a numbers game when you put it all in perspective.
Absolutely.
And I think it would be helpful to understand, with that in mind, what elective egg freezing is and why it is actually worth considering. Mm.
So what egg freezing is that you go see a doctor, okay? Every month, okay, we have follicles growing in our ovaries, okay? What the doctor does, he gives you medication, like injections that you kind of inject into your tummy.
Which we call stims.
Yes, stims. Yeah. That's the word. And so we stim ourselves and our follicles grow to a certain size. Okay, once it's appropriately sized, we retrieve them out. Okay, and okay, not all follicles have eggs as well. Okay, which is a big thing. A lot of people don't know. So we retrieve out the eggs, whatever's there, we freeze them. That's egg freezing. You asked why it's worth seriously considering. I mean, there are a number of reasons. Some people do it for fertility preservation, people who, for example, have, you know, certain sicknesses, cancer and everything.
Yes, they
need to get it done. And then, but you have the whole other group who basically want to consider, you know, growing their career first and maybe not having children so early. And then you have a group who basically just want to have kids someday, but, you know, they don't have a partner at the moment. And so that's why it's worth considering.
Yeah, it's a really, I mean, when you think of it, it's like an insurance policy of sorts.
Yes, exactly.
Although there is never, ever kind of any guarantee, right?
Yes.
That's the cruelest thing.
The doctors make sure they'll tell you that every single time.
Exactly.
It's
like, there's no promises.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I never felt any sort of maternal urge till I was 36, which is actually very late in the game. Tanvi, when did you start to feel this need to freeze your eggs, and why was it necessary? And what was the final push for you that meant, okay, I'm going to do this?
So I, from those three groups of women who consider egg freezing, so I kind of fell into the third group of kind of being single for a while, and I didn't want the pressure of settling down and finding find the wrong person and having kids with them.
For the sake of it.
Just because I always knew I wanted to be a mom. Yeah. So that was the main reason why I wanted to kind of have that safety net. And yeah, the reason I kind of started thinking about it when I was about 33, 34. But it was in the beginning, it was quite difficult to get the right information, especially in Singapore, because at that time it wasn't legal here. So I kind of researched, maybe considered doing it in Malaysia or in Bangkok. And then unfortunately, COVID happened. So everything kind of got delayed for a bit. And finally, last year when I was 36, I was like, okay, I can't keep waiting. And at that point, I remember they had started the discussion of making it legal in Singapore, but they hadn't finalized anything. So instead of waiting for that, I decided to do my first round in Malaysia. But to make it a bit more convenient for me, because I didn't want to deal with doing the stimulation process by myself in Malaysia, keep going back and forth. I did the first half in Singapore and then the extraction in JB.
I want to say how brave that is, because, you know, this whole journey, whether you're doing elective egg freezing or like hardcore IVF and with your partner or whatever down the line, it is so isolating sometimes. Yes. And so it's such a brave thing that you did this on your own in JB, ping-ponging back and forth. Yeah, exactly. I think what I would have loved to have known before I started this whole journey myself was that you're going to want to give yourself a 3 to 4 month runway for a number of reasons. It's not like you can just be like, okay, I want to freeze my eggs tomorrow and then kind of get them out. So it's not just about timing the hormones to your period, but also because egg freezing is so expensive, you're going to want to do everything in your power to improve the quality of your eggs. So there's also a bunch of lifestyle factors such as managing stress, changing your skincare, limiting your exposure to plastics and chemicals to overhaul. So I want to ask you guys, you know, preparing the body for stimulations, or stims as we call it, is really like a second job. It's like, it's so intense. Yeah. For me, I had a habit tracker on my iPad to note down all the meds and nutrition and self-care and fitness and, you know, acupuncture sessions and things like that. What did you guys do to proactively prepare for better quality eggs?
Honestly, do you know the first time I did, you know, IVF or did, you know, the stims, I knew nothing. So I mean, as you said, I went into it blindly. I didn't prepare anything and I got really, really bad results. And then so only after that, then I kind of did my research. I read the books that, you know, there's this book that everybody kind of goes to. It started with an egg, you know.
And Rebecca Fett, it's like our Bible.
It is. We share it out like crazy. But no, but with that, then you realize that, you know, we can improve egg quality and a lot of people don't actually know that, I think. So that's the main thing that we need to kind of share. So how I did, I went to TCM, you know, but...
And so you got the herbs. And
I got the herbs. I got the acupuncture.
Did you do moxibustion and cupping?
I didn't, you know, but... And then somebody told me about it. I was like, shit, I should have done that as well. Yeah. You know, everything people suggest, you kind of go, oh yeah, I should do that.
Yeah, you add that to your list of
to-dos. I know,
right?
Which is a very long
and
list.
And by the way, this is all in a bid to promote like blood circulation, is that right, to your uterus?
You kind of have your uterus warm. You want, you know,
you
your body.
Socks.
So I totally stopped drinking cold water.
Yeah.
No, but you know, on those really hot days, do you know,
it's so difficult in Singapore.
I have this theory and, you know, rough. I had a TCM confirm it. You basically drink the water, you hold it in your mouth. And then when it's like kind of warm, then you swallow.
Oh, I love that. That's so good.
Right?
That's so good.
Yeah. So I had that, you know, and then there was other things like, oh my God, supplements. I had a full breakfast meal of just supplements, vitamins, you know, oh, I can't even, you know, now thinking about it, I had like 20 vitamins in the morning, 20 vitamins at night.
Wow.
And it's really
sounds
crazy.
Familiar. It's way more intense than my experience.
Because with Tanvi, you know, I learned through Tanvi that when you actually do elective egg freezing, they don't actually tell you the quality of your eggs. It's really only when you kind of progress onto making them into actual embryos. Yes. So, Tans, what did you do?
So, I think the first round, like, I knew some knowledge, so I kind of changed some things, but nothing to the extreme other than taking some vitamins, which... I kind of already knew I was low in iron and vitamin D, which I think are quite important. Lifestyle-wise, like I just try to be more balanced in my meals, but I didn't do any extreme changes, I would say. I think after the first round, the second and third round, I kind of just stuck to the vitamins, I think. I would say that. And I think right before the third round, I was going to do TCM and then I just got too busy. So I never managed to do it. Right. But like, so I don't know how much it would have made a difference for me personally, but at least the advice I got from the doctors, because for egg freezing, you don't know the quality and it's more just getting as many numbers. So my doctor was like, you know, at the end of the day, you can do all these things, do it at the same time. Don't, because the biggest factor is age in the quality. Yeah. So instead of wasting 6 months or preparing your body, he was like, just do it and just keep, continue doing it instead of waiting 6 to 8 months to be 100% ready to do to do the egg freezing.
Time is really of the essence. And so, you know, we prep our bodies like champions, but the number of eggs extracted varies from person to person and even round to round. And Tanvi, you know, we said before that we think of egg freezing as an insurance policy of sorts, but actually sometimes the IVF math isn't mathing. Mm. Yes. And can you share with us the quality of eggs that you got from your cycles round to round? And in a way, you can prep, but you can never really know the outcome of what that's going to be. Yeah. What does that feel like for you?
So the first round, I was quite unexpected how low a count I got was, because all my scans and my blood tests all kind of came normal. I wasn't too old, at least in my head. The 36 doesn't seem like that old. And I only got 4 eggs. So that was quite a shocking experience for me, because I generally thought I was pretty healthy. I never had any fertility issues. My period was always on time, all these things. So that was a bit hard the first time around. Luckily, then the second round, I managed to get 8 eggs. And then the last round I've just done, I got 13 eggs.
Amazing.
So in total now I have 25 eggs, which is a good number.
It is.
But let's see, I might have to do another round, but it depends on... my doctor suggests I should get another round in, but I think in generally for most women, 25 is actually a pretty good number.
It's honestly
really good.
For many women, it's the dream, right?
Because I can't imagine 25 eggs.
How did you, Tans, cope with the disappointment from the first round? Like, did you have a good cry? Did you try to recalibrate your protocol?
Yeah, so I mean, definitely had a lot of moments of crying happen when you felt, especially because you kind of have the scan before you do the extraction, so you have an idea at that point. So I was expecting it to be low at that point, so it wasn't a total shock. But you know, in reality, you still have some hope going into it. I think I was very lucky that I had really good family and friend support here, and I had a couple of friends who haven't gone through egg freezing, but they went through IVF, so they were a good support system as well. And I actually have my sister who's doing a startup related in this field in the US called New Egg, and so she was a really good like support system and someone I could like talk to every day. And I think especially being a single woman, it's a lot harder, I feel like, because you're doing it by yourself. You don't have a partner. So it gets quite emotional and it is quite tiresome that, you know, you're injecting yourself every morning and, you know, your body doesn't feel like your body anymore and it's very tiring.
And the hormones kind of really drive you crazy. Yeah. A lot of people don't realize that, but I think we go crazy, you know?
And it is quite invasive because, you know, Tanya, you talked about scans. Yeah. We actually have to do ultra-vaginal scans, right?
Yeah. Every 2 days.
Oh, yeah, honestly. Yeah. And you have to be prepared that it's quite invasive.
Yeah. Exactly.
Apart from the actual injections and, you know, some people get vaginal pessaries.
Yes. It's very messy.
There's rectal or anal pessaries.
Yes,
I mean, it is not chic.
It's not fun.
But you got to do what you got to do, hey? I guess it brings me to my next point. Kim, you've moderated thousands of anxious conversations in the FSS or Fertility Support SG support group. Mm-hmm. I've probably been contributing to 10% of that. I don't know. What should women realistically expect in terms of outcomes? I mean, is it all a numbers game?
It is. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, I was quite impressed by Tanvi's numbers. You know, I was researching this yesterday. Do you know if a 30-year-old woman has 15 frozen eggs, she has an 83% chance of one birth, okay? A 50% chance of two children and only a 22% chance of three children. And that's with 15 eggs. So realistically, if you want two children, 25 eggs is a good number.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. So she's at a good
and
place.
And that's why you really have to think long term about, yes. I mean, you have to, it forces you to be like, okay, how many kids do I want?
Exactly.
Because I've got to start banking this in. And
yeah. I think for me, it's also like, if I've done it three times now and I've put so much money and effort into it, what another round, you know, at least gives me even more of a guarantee that percentage goes up higher as well.
But I do think it gets kind of a bit addictive, you know? And it's like, you know, okay, the more I have, you know that kind of feeling?
No, I think after this fourth round, I'm done.
It's just like the Super Mario coins.
It is, you know? No, but you know the other thing that you know, when you go through a scan, the number of follicles you have, a lot of people presume, okay, I've got five follicles and that equates to five eggs. Mm-hmm. But it's not.
Yeah, that's
you know?
That was the first thing which I had the first time I did it as well.
Exactly.
Like, oh, it started with 12. Why did it only come four at the end?
It comes as a shock because a lot of people really don't understand it. Yeah. You know, I had 11 follicles and they only retrieved five eggs.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, you know, where's my eggs?
Yeah.
And then they say, no, there are follicles that are empty, you know, things like that. And so there's a lot of, you know, research that people have to kind of do to understand.
And not just empty. Sometimes the eggs can be too small. They can be too gray.
Yes.
Sometimes they grow too fast.
Yes.
In comparison to the rest of their cohort. Yeah,
exactly.
And we're not even talking about the point where you put them in, you put them back in your body.
Prior to that fertilization. So, okay, let's say you have five eggs. Okay, you get five eggs. Only three may fertilize.
That's right.
And then only two may grow to day three and only one may grow to day five. And so the attrition rate is crazy.
Exactly. When you say day three, day five, Kim, you're actually talking about blasts?
IVF. Yes, blasts.
Yeah, blastocysts.
But, you know, so, you know, for her, having 25 eggs, it's not a guarantee that those 25 eggs will become children.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the attrition rate can be high. So this is something we need to know.
It does help you sleep better at night, right, Tavi?
I would sleep better with 25 eggs.
I mean, you talked about it being addictive, Kim, but also the other flip side is that the cost of it is also really jarring. Like NUH states that the egg retrieval's cost is around 10 to 12K with GST.
Yeah.
And if you explore someplace like Raffles Hospital, it's around 12.8K the last time I checked in 2024. But we've realized that none of this is actually available for co-funding and there are no subsidies and it's actually not claimable via Medisave at all. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Totally.
Very crazy.
Yes. No, I can't understand it either. You know, with IVF, you do get to claim Medisave, you know, up to a certain amount. And there's subsidies. So, you know, I'm very impressed by Tembi. The fact that she spent so much money.
Completely out of pocket.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. You know, it's just not really that fair.
I mean, ultimately, how many 21 to 37-year-olds have a spare 13K to blow on a round of elective freezing.
And that's sometimes one round. Yeah.
You don't really get any eggs out of it.
Exactly.
What will and won't the government help us with? And how do we change this?
I mean, at the moment, with them not giving anything, it's a bit hard. But I mean, there are certain things that we kind of need to fight for. I think ladies, I mean, as you said, at the age of, you know, below 30, I'm not going to think about spending 13,000 on
egg, that much,
you know,
money.
And it's the fact that because you're older, you know, you have a good career, that's why.
Yeah.
But I mean, a lot of ladies, if I'm 25, 26, which is the optimal age to egg freeze, and I have 20,000, I'm gonna go on holiday, I'm gonna buy a bag, you know, I'm not gonna go spend it on eggs.
David, our co-producer, is nodding in support,
exactly. So it just doesn't make sense. But if you made it affordable, you know, then it makes sense,
yeah.
Tanvi, you did your first round of egg freezing in JB, as we mentioned before all this was legal for single women to actually do elective egg freezing in Singapore. And then you did follow-up rounds of freezing at a private clinic here in Singapore, which came up to about 24?
Yeah, I think, in total for all three rounds, around 30,
What motivated you to go private?
Well, I actually, first of all, didn't even know that you couldn't not go private in Singapore. So I didn't even know that was an option. But I think mainly I was focusing on the doctor, Dr. Suresh Nair, which I think we all have gone to.
The Beyonce of
and obviously her
really doctor. If you need to know. So, your clinic is going to be slammed by now because it's already, everyone's on wait list like a Birkin.
But. Tell me about it.
So I think that was the fact, especially because after the first round of not getting so many eggs, I was like, okay, let me do some more research and find out who's like the best of the best, because I want to, as I'm spending so much money, I want to
do research. Like, how did you like Google?
Yeah, I think it was just basically Facebook forums, I guess, reviews. And I think the Fertility SG had done like a webinar with Monash, and I think he was one of the doctors. So I liked the sound of him as well. So that
your
helped.
Group are doing the most. You guys are doing the heavy lifting where education is concerned.
So yeah, so that was the main reason why, I guess. So it was more because I wanted to get like the best doctor possible. Yeah.
But you can actually do egg freezing at other hospitals here, right?
You can. Yeah. There are actually, there's more and more centers that are offering package prices and like basically storage for up to 3 years and this and that. So I think a lot of, you know, clinics are trying to offer it. But as I said, the take up rate at the moment, as I was talking to Tammy, is not high because it's still expensive. You know, that's the thing. Definitely. Yeah.
I love to help everyone here understand the process of post-retrievals since we've talked about the lead-up and the cost. So the actual egg collection or the retrieval part takes 10 to 20 minutes. After all of that, can you describe, Tanvi, what happens after the eggs are retrieved and how long you had to rest for? Like for me, I was sedated and the first thing I asked was like, how many eggs did we get? I think that's what everyone wants to know when they come to, right?
Yeah.
How many?
Yeah.
I think my post-retrieval actually wasn't too bad. Like you said, it's not the actual extraction is not that long. Mm-hmm. I think the whole process of getting sedated and getting in and out of the clinic is actually longer than the actual extraction. But I think my extraction was at like 9:30 in the morning and I was at home by 11 a.m. basically. And you just kind of feel a bit tired and a bit sore for the first day. But I was generally okay by day two. So I was quite lucky to not have too many symptoms. But I do know some women do feel very bloated for the next 3-4 days as well.
Yeah.
And some of them actually go on to experience OHSS.
Right, OHSS.
Which is...
A lot of ladies who have PCOS, basically. So when they do stims, instead of like, if you have probably like 10 to 11, they can go up to about have 60 eggs or 60 follicles, you know. But it's not a good thing because a lot of these follicles are underdeveloped. Mm. Because there's so many trying to grow in there. So when they extract everything out, imagine because all our follicles are getting very heavy. So when they're too heavy, it gets to a certain stage. If it gets too pain, they get hospitalized and they can go into severe, you know, ICU and everything when it gets too serious. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. So, I mean, there are ways you're supposed to take like 100 plus, you know, for the bloatedness and everything. But, you know, there are ladies who kind of weigh themselves after a retrieval and they're like 5 kg heavier.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, that's so cruel because hormones already from the stims are just so rough.
Yes.
They really mess with your metabolism.
Yeah.
And sometimes your doctor will put you on some medication which kind of mimics menopause, right?
Yes.
Lucrine. Oh my God.
And you just kind of go crazy. Crazier than you can go.
You have insomnia, you get hot flashes, things like that. Kim, were you awake for yours or how does that?
No. So for retrievals, everybody's asleep.
Right.
But for transfer later on, you can choose to be asleep or awake.
Got it.
Yeah.
Wow. Why would you choose to be awake?
A majority of people, because it's actually really fast.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like a 5-10 minute kind of thing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think I'd want to be.
But it's uncomfortable.
They want to
it's
see their magic happen.
Yeah, I guess so.
Uncomfortable in the sense that it feels like a pap smear gone wrong. Right?
Yeah, no, I stayed awake for the first two, and then I was like, nah. From the third, I was like, just put me to sleep. I'll have a nap.
So after we've retrieved the eggs, what happens after that? Like, how are they stored, and for how long? Kim, would you know?
So it depends. So most of them have packages. You can do it's like a sign up package. You can either save it for a year, 5 years, 10 years. So there's options at the end of the day. And so if you're egg freezing, obviously you're going to sign up for at least 5 years. It's not going to be a 1 year thing. Yeah. So how long did you?
Mine, I think, because the initial package, all of them came with a 3 year.
So 3 years is kind of package everybody's pushing for.
And then I think after 3 years, then I'll have to pay a fee to keep them on longer.
Yeah. And there is a thawing fee.
There is.
Yeah.
Everything costs money.
Yeah. Truly. Not going to lie, the egg freezing process is probably one of the most intense and invasive things that you'll ever do, as we've mentioned before, with the scans, you know, the doctor's visits, the hormone injections. You really do need a great support system, as Tanvi has emphasized before. Mm-hmm. How did you survive it all and, you know, keep your mental health buoyant at this time, given all the hormones and appointments? And did you guys feel any of the effects of the meds or grind at all? I mean, I open this up to both of you.
I think for me, at least for the first two rounds, the hormones didn't affect me that much. I don't know if it was a good thing or a bad, because sometimes I was like, oh, I want to feel more bloated. That means more follicles are growing. And I think that this last round, I think towards the end, I could definitely feel it a bit more because I did have more follicles growing. So you just feel very tired and just very, very bloated. Emotionally, I think it does get exhausting, especially doing it multiple times. Like this last round, it was kind of like, okay, I have to just power through, you know? And it's just mentally and emotionally very difficult, especially because you're spending so much money and you're like, is this all worth it? You know?
You want results.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, and because I'm single, I'm like, oh, well, I mean, find the person to use these eggs, you know, all those thoughts kind of go through your head. But I think after I complete it, I always feel like this was the right thing to do. And it, you know, it does give me a lot of comfort knowing that I have this now as like a backup in some ways.
For sure, for sure. For me, you know, I had effects straight away. I put on 8 kg.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I was at like my fat. You know, you imagine you're going through emotionally, like all these hormones, and you're at your fattest and you're just really unhappy and grumpy and, you know, angry all the time and crying and everything.
I was in sweats for like 2 weeks. I'm like, I'm not wearing anything else. Honestly, I'm not wearing anything else.
Exactly. So, I mean, that effect, you know, so everybody's like, oh, are you pregnant? And I'm like, no, I'm not.
That's for a separate podcast, by the way. That is so rude.
Yeah. But, you know, in terms, it did have an effect on me physically, emotionally, I said hormones and everything. You know, just everything. Everything just, and I think the biggest thing was that everything could go wrong at any point in time.
That's so true.
Yeah. You know, you kind of think, okay, it's just going to be simple. It's going to be a retrieval. You know, we get our eggs and then we're going to put them back. And a lot of people think that you go into IVF and it's going to be 100% kind of thing. Mm. It's not, you know. So, but with the egg freezing part, everything can go wrong. You know, I had my cycles cancelled.
Yes.
Because not enough follicles, I've not enough eggs. You know, things like that.
It is so depressing.
It's so depressing.
And actually, if you get COVID, they'll cancel it.
Oh my God.
And there goes your money.
Yes. Oh, so do you know, because in the support group and everything, there are many ladies who actually, you know, did write to the day before a retrieval and they got COVID and they had the whole cycle canceled. So you imagine you spent all your money.
I'd be in pieces.
You know, and they were, you know.
I wouldn't be able to deal with that.
You asked me support. That was why we started Fertility Support SG. Because we kind of went through all this alone and we were so lonely through it. We were going crazy. And then so a group of us came together and like, oh, did you have enough support? And we were like, no. And so why not create something? And that's how we came about.
I love that. Honestly, I feel like your work is so life-saving in many ways. And yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely. And I mean, I started following the Instagram just to get education information because that's also very lacking right now, I think.
Absolutely. Definitely.
You know, education. I mean, talking about education, I think that there are so many women and couples out there who don't have any understanding about fertility. And which is why, you know, my dream would be to have it educated in secondary schools or universities. And
yeah.
Women need to kind of know what fertility health is and understand what egg freezing is and this and that.
I was personally, you know, really surprised at how demanding it was. And it just takes chunks out of your day, even just to sit at a clinic, you know, being in a Zoom meeting while they're drawing 15 vials of blood for tests.
Yes.
What are you telling your bosses? What do you recommend that we tell our bosses and our families as we kind of go through this?
I mean, I'm generally a pretty open person and I'm like also trying to get awareness about this. So I was very open about talking to my family about it, my friends about it. And well, I also worked with my dad, so he was aware of what's happening.
That helps.
But I think even if I wasn't working with him, I probably would at least tell like my reporting manager, because you'd really need to be quite flexible on those 2 weeks because you don't know when your next scan's going to be. And then sometimes you have to be waiting for 3-4 hours. So it is, that's also part of the emotional stress in some ways going through it. Because
the lack of control.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's very, very exhausting. Like, I remember I had an appointment for my scan on a Saturday, and it was supposed to be at like 2 p.m., but I got called from the clinic. It got delayed. I finally saw the doctor at like 5 p.m. So my whole Saturday was, you know, yeah. So my whole Saturday was gone, but you know, what else can you do, you know?
Yeah. That's rough.
No, that's the thing. For us, I think, you know, I've had a lot of ladies who say, you know, can I not tell my boss, you know, because they feel that their boss may not understand. Okay. So, I mean, but we've kind of shared, you know, you kind of have to, because you're taking so much time out, unless you kind of say, you know, I've got something personal, but they're not going to be that understanding if they don't know the reason why. So we often will tell ladies, you know, you should share with your boss, you know, what you're going through. And, you know, they may not understand, but at least try, which is why, you know, with Fertility Support SG, we have a workplace team, and we're sending our workplace team out to these, you know, companies to try to educate them. Mm-hmm. So we have talks. Yeah, so we bring in a doctor, we bring in a counselor, we bring in a lady, you know, and we go into these companies. We basically go to the HR manager and say, let us give your company a talk. And we are coming up with a workplace toolkit where we can, you know, it's basically a PDF that we give to the manager. And so for them to kind of understand what is fertility, that's what we're trying to push for.
Yeah. That's amazing.
But it's needed, you know, at the end definitely. Of the day. Yeah.
What was the biggest misconception that you both had about the process that you can now share with us?
I think for me, mainly was the fact that I didn't think I was that old. So I would probably just need to do two rounds. I wasn't mentally prepared that, I might need to do three or four rounds to get the amount of eggs that I wanted. I think that was probably the main one. And also, I think what we mentioned before, when you do the scan initially and you're like, I have 12 follicles, that means I'll get 12 eggs. That's not the reality, unfortunately. Yeah.
What you see is sometimes not what
exactly. Similar to a certain extent. And I kind of went into thinking IVF or, you know, was a done deal. Okay, if I'm going to go through IVF, I'm going to have a baby, you know, and then with the disappointments and, you know, then you realize it's really not, it's not that.
I realize, you know, I'm kind of type A and you just have no control over the process. So you have to really learn how, like, even when you're about to start, it's based on when your period comes. And so my friends will be like, when are you starting? I'm like, I don't know. It's really when your period comes.
And you're stressed and your periods don't come.
Literally, you're the subject of your body and you're like,
yeah, I think usually my period is always on time. The first round, the one time it was like a week late. I'm like, why are you late this time around?
Exactly. You know? It's the only time you want your period to come.
Kim, I really want to understand, given that you are such an expert in, you know, moderating all these conversations on Facebook, on WhatsApp, what's something that you wish all women knew about egg freezing? What's something that always comes up for you?
I think regret. A lot of ladies, because, you know, we are an infertility group. Mm-hmm. So a lot of ladies that come to us have already faced infertility, you know, and so when I ask them, you know, what's your biggest regret? What did you wish you would have done? And most of them say, I wish I had egg freezed. Simple as that. Because they wish they'd tried earlier. You know, they wouldn't have, you know, concentrated on their careers, you know, so much, and tried having babies or, you know, kids later on in life. So, you know, if you ask, I'll tell, if you say 10 ladies in the group, if you ask them now, would you egg freeze? 100% they said yes. And, you know, it's quite interesting because we talked about it and everything. And so they said if they had kids or when they have kids, they will make sure that their daughters or their daughters-in-law, you know, will egg freeze, you know, if they don't want kids.
I think about this all the time. Yeah. Like, wow, I wish I had the common sense, or I wish it was even legal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. That was the hardest part because I wanted to do it when I was younger, but I just didn't have the resources.
Yeah, the resources ultimately.
And if I had to, then I had to travel. So that's a lot harder because that's a lot more time commitment away from Singapore as well. And so the same thing when I talk to single women who are like maybe 30, 31 and they're single, I'm like, do it right now. Do it straight away. Exactly. And a lot of them humming and hawing. I'm like, trust me, do it right now. Don't wait until you're like 34, 35.
Yeah. I'm like, I'll come with you if you need someone.
I told my husband, I'm like, you better save up because our daughter's going to freeze at 21, you know? So, yeah.
How can women find reliable information and support with regards to egg freezing?
Well, I think your Instagram is actually quite helpful in a lot of ways.
So, I mean, even though we're an infertility group, okay, but we've realized how there's so little information about egg freezing. So we even have a WhatsApp group now. So we've created resources and we have an egg freezing group where single ladies have actually joined, and they kind of, you know, I think the best support that you can get is from people who have actually gone through it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so with that, we have a group and they kind of just talk to each other. So they ask each other questions, you know, where did you go egg freeze? How did you feel? Things like that. And I think that's really important.
One of my favorite things about this whole community, whether it's egg freezing or IVF, is the camaraderie about it. And you can just tell each other, like, this is my cycle. This is how many eggs I got. This is how many, you know, turned out to be gray, or this is how many blastocysts I got in the end.
And they understand. That's the thing. I think it's the understanding that, okay, you just have to say it once and people understand, you know, instead of going to people who kind of don't understand and you're trying to have to explain yourself and it's getting frustrating, you know? Yeah.
I love this sisterhood.
Yeah, for sure. And I also, if you want like new egg, which is also an Instagram page, they also have a lot of information and support for egg freezing and data, which is also very helpful and educational. And if anyone wants to do it in the US, they're a very good company to work with, because they also, other than, you know, being a concierge service or making your appointments, there's also, like you said, there is like a support system as well inbuilt. Which is very important.
Well, amazing. Guys, that's all the time we unfortunately have for today. We hope that this has been informative in helping you take charge of your fertility journey. Ladies, thank you so much again for your time.
It's been amazing.
So what did we learn today? Well, for starters, there are no guarantees when it comes to egg freezing, but we're not about to have regrets either. We also learned that food, supplements, stress, lifestyle factors like smoking and other underlying health conditions may influence egg quality, and they kind of need to be addressed before you start to invest this huge amount of time and resources. And finally, it can be really tough on the mind and body, especially in the two-week process when you're injecting. So call on your village and know that you're going to emerge tougher and more resilient than ever. And with that, thank you so much for listening. I'm your host, Ali Sim, and we'll check you on the next podcast. Bye.
Subscribe to Vogue Singapore to keep up with Vogue Uncut and the latest news from our editors reporting daily on the latest in fashion, beauty, and culture. More information available at your fingertips at vogue.sg/subscribe.